Thank you, Pastor Dan. If you have your Bibles tonight, if not, we have Bibles that are in the pews in front of you. I'm going to have you open up to two places in Scripture. One is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when you're at 1 Corinthians 15, that's in the New Testament, go ahead and put a bookmark or there's offering envelopes or something in front of you. Place that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then the second place, I'll let you get to 1 Corinthians 15 first. And then the second place we're going to be, where we're going to start off, is going to be in Philippians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 15 and Philippians chapter 3. Once you're at Philippians chapter 3, why don't you give me a good hearty amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. Philippians 3, verse number 10. I think it'd be good if I turn there too, huh? I've got you all there, but I'm not even there yet. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. Paul writes this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul writes that I might know him, that I might know Christ, know him better, understand what he did and why he did it, to better identify with him. What a great idea it is to have the Lord's Supper on Easter Sunday. Not only for us to focus on the importance of what Christ did on the cross, but also to celebrate the resurrection of his life. Tonight we'll be communion together in what's called, traditionally called, the Lord's Supper, in which we commemorate the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, of what he did on the cross. So we can better understand his suffering, we can better understand his pain, and understand what Paul writes here, and that is how we've been made conformable unto his death. The word conformable in that verse means this: it means to assimilate. It means to be made part of. You see, when Jesus suffered, when Jesus died on the cross, we all had a part in it. Why? Because he was bearing my sins on the cross. He was bearing your sins on the cross. He was bearing everyone's sins on the cross in his body as he hung on the tree, making us conformable or part of his death. But let me remind you of this, of these three words, and they're three simple words, and that is this: Jesus is alive. Say it one time with me. Jesus is alive. Jesus has conquered death by the rising up from the grave. The Bible said he was seen of many people of that 40-day period after he rose from the grave. The Bible says at one time he was seen by above or over 500 people at once. And because Jesus defeated death and has eternal life, you might be asking, what does that mean to me? For believers in Jesus Christ, it means eternal life for you and I too. Because Jesus said this, the Bible says this rather, and I don't think I can make it any clearer than what the Bible says. And here in 2 Corinthians 4:14, let me read it to you. The Bible says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also. I don't think I can make it any clearer than that. That the same God that raised Jesus Christ from the grave will raise you up also. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God did what? Raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You'll be saved from everlasting punishment and instead inherit everlasting life. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Believe in what Jesus' death did for me on the cross and the fact that he beat death when he was raised from the grave alive, and I don't have to stay dead. But I get to enjoy the blessings of an eternal home in heaven with God, with Jesus, with my wife, with Elijah, with Alex, with my other family members, with you, my Christian friends. That's what's so special about having the Lord's Supper on Easter, is not only are we doing as Jesus asked, do this in remembrance of me. to reflect on his sacrificial death that saved us from the eternal penalty of our sin, but we also get to reflect on Easter and the fact that his resurrection provides us with life. In just a minute, I want to share with you a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to flip over there now, it would be good. But before I do, let me share something with you. I remember as a kid having always been fascinated by those escape artists on TV that are able to pull off the most amazing tricks. You know, I'm a very analytical person, and I just would stare at that stuff to death and figure out, how did they get out of those things? I mean, there's got to be a way, you know, and I would just look at that stuff to death and say, there must be a trap door, or must be this, or must be that. And man, it puzzled me so much. And there have been some real experts at this, like Harry Houdini and Joe Burris and Steve Quinn and Chris Angel, is a name that you hear a lot now. You know, these guys have tried all kinds of crazy stuff. And I watched a video just last week of this one guy, and this one guy was tied up, and then he was placed in this coffin, and this coffin was wrapped around with chains, and then they attached these concrete blocks onto the chains, and then they dropped him into the water. And guess what? He escaped. And I'm looking at that going, how in the world did he do that? You know? And then I was watching another video, and it was just so puzzling. And this one guy was handcuffed. He had handcuffs on his hands. He had handcuffs on his feet. And he was curled up in a ball. And they lifted him up. He had two assistants that lifted him up. And they dropped him in this huge fish tank. How many of y'all have a fish tank at home, an aquarium? Well, this is not your ordinary fish tank. This was a fish tank probably about 8 feet wide and about 10 feet tall. And they just got him and they dumped him in there. And this guy's like struggling. I don't know if it's safe for me to get on the floor. Okay. And he's struggling and doing this and doing that. And, you know, he's doing this. And then finally, before you know it, guess what happens? He did what? He escaped. And then I saw this third video. I'm like, man, this is so interesting. I wonder how these guys do this. I'm going to figure it out, even if it takes me all day. And then the third guy, he was same thing. They had him all locked up. I don't remember if it was chains or cuffs or whatever. And they placed him in this big glass container, except it was empty. There wasn't water in it. But they had this cement mixer that was over his head. And the cement mixer was going, and he was all tied up. He had rope wrapped all around him. And he's tied up like this. And all of a sudden, the cement starts pouring down on him. And it starts filling up this tank, and it's getting higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And it gets up to his neck. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, guess what he did? He escaped, and he lifts himself out of that tank. Whew. But you know what? Somehow, all those guys got out, and it seems like these guys could break out of anything, that they could escape death, impending death, whether it was underwater, whether it's being buried by cement. You know, no matter what it is, these guys could escape death. But the thing about that is this, is that death finally catches up. It finally catches up to us. And for some of those guys that I've mentioned, it's already caught up to them, either through some failed stunts or just the natural causes. Death put them in a grave, and unless they got saved beforehand, they have yet to escape death. You see, there's only one sure way to escape death, and that's through the power of the resurrection. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. In comparison to those escape artists, death also laid hands on the Lord Jesus Christ. And death put Jesus in a rock-solid tomb. And there was a stone on the mouth of that tomb, and that stone was sealed tight. But on the third day, Jesus proved that there's only one sure way to escape death, and that's through his resurrection power. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus left those grave clothes behind like a butterfly would leave a cocoon. And that stone that was covering the mouth of that tomb was rolled out of the way. And by the way, that stone wasn't rolled out of the way to let Jesus out. It was to let other people in so they could see what was accomplished and see the resurrection power of God. As Paul said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul starts off with a question in verse number 12. He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? Paul teaches that although I can preach and you can proclaim the awesome truth that Christ is risen from the dead, there will be some that will do an unthinkable thing. They will doubt. But the truth of God's word is right before our eyes. The heart of the gospel is this, and you'll find it right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look with me at verse number 3. In the middle of verse number 3, Paul writes, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. You see, the difference between Jesus Christ and the followers of other belief, the founders of other belief systems is this. They lived, they died, and they're still dead. Jesus Christ lived, Jesus Christ died, but Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is alive today. That's the power of the resurrection. There's no need to follow a dead-end religion when you've been offered eternal life by a risen Savior. Romans chapter 4, verse 1, let me quote this verse for you. Paul writes this. He says that Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power. And then he finishes that verse by telling us how. And it was by the resurrection from the dead. You see, the power to defeat death and rise from the dead is beyond all human ability. Houdini, Burris, Quinn, those guys couldn't do it. Death caught up to them. It takes supernatural ability. It takes supernatural power. Power that's possessed by the only begotten Son of God. You might ask, how do I know that he can save me and give me eternal life? I'll tell you how. It's because God, the righteous judge, was the one who imposed death as a penalty for sin for all mankind. For the wages of sin is death. But you know what? As the one who had the power to impose death as a penalty for sin for all mankind, this same God is the one that can defeat death. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. He had the power to declare death as a penalty for your sins and my sins, rightfully so. But he also had the power to defeat death. And because he defeated death, he can and he will do it for you and for me. Jesus said this in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The question for you today is this. Do you believe it? Do you believe that the Son of God, who defeated death, can provide you eternal life? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul tells us that they were witnesses to the truth of Christ's resurrection. There were those who saw Jesus Christ after his resurrection to prove that he rose from the grave. Look with me at verse number 4. It says, and that he was buried, and that he did what? Rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, who's Peter, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then all the apostles. And then Paul writes in verse number 8, and last of all, he was seen of who? Me also. Now I want you to understand what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that all the above mentioned people, including himself, could testify that Jesus Christ was alive after his resurrection. Why? Because they'd seen him, because they'd talked with him, because they ate broiled fish with him. That was for Jack Sandusky. We talked about that today, about broiled fish and his resurrection. Because they fellowshiped with him, because they touched him after his resurrection. Well, you say, how do I know that they didn't just make it up? How do I know they didn't just come up with a good story? I'll tell you how they know. Look with me at verse number 10. Paul tells the Corinthians in verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul said that after he saw the resurrected Jesus Christ, he worked hard in service to the Lord. He said more than anybody else. 3 missionary journeys traveling the world, spreading the gospel, leading people to Christ, planting churches, mentoring young Christians, producing pastors like Timothy and Titus, establishing leaders in churches, and it wasn't a cakewalk either. Paul endured a lot of persecution. Paul endured beatings. Paul endured imprisonments. Why would Paul do all these things? Why would Paul endure all these things? It's because Jesus Christ is alive. Paul saw Him and believed. And Paul has given us not only his testimony, but he's given us the testimony of many others of the resurrected Jesus Christ. The Bible and history tells us that most of the disciples paid with their very lives for their testimony and for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They suffered, they bled, they died because they believed in the death and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A man might live a lie, but few men will die for a lie. But these people testified and said, "He is alive. We know He is alive." And they sealed their testimony, many of them, with their lives, with their lives. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ plays a vital role in the plan of salvation. If you're not saved, you stand guilty before God. And the penalty that the judge will render unto you because of your sin is death, separation from God for all eternity. You're a dead man. The Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sins, having offended a righteous and a holy God. But thank God that He gives you a chance to be saved from that death, eternal death. Romans 10:9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God rose Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your risen Savior and your only hope of heaven, you are no longer dead in your sins, because you have a risen Savior that has paid the price for your sins. Paul says, "Know that you have been made conformable unto His death." That's because He paid the price for you. And because He paid the price for you, death no longer has dominion over you. You have been quickened. You have been made alive. And I'm so glad that we have that kind of gospel to proclaim. I'm so glad that life just doesn't end. Verse number 20 in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes this. He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." He's taken the gloom out of the grave so we don't have to fear death, because He's given us a future. And that's a future that's steadfast and a future that's sure. Look with me at verse number 22. It says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made," what? Alive. Alive. Forget Chris Angel and David Copperfield and all those guys. You can pull off the greatest escape ever. You can escape death. You can escape eternal separation from God if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, and then He rose again. Jesus is alive today, but does He live in you?